Now, you may have seen in the news recently a bit of a legal situation, where a Melbourne visual artist, Esther Olsen, found that her artwork had, if not been used, at least wildly heavily influenced, and without her permission, the Hillsong Church merchandise and promotional material. What can artists do to protect their work, and where do they seek help if it is being ripped off? Well, Robin Ayres is the CEO of Arts Law, National Community Legal Centre, that indeed works to protect artists and their intellectual property rights. Robin, a very good morning.
Morning, Nick.
Now, how common are issues like this? How common are scenarios like what's happening to Esther?
They're reasonably common. I wouldn't say they happen every day, but about 60% of what Arts Law does is around issues of copyright and contract. So probably what Esther is, you know, the scenario that Esther has, I just know from reading the media about her case, but, you know, it's about copyright infringement potentially. Or the other issue that it might sort of raise alarm bells to me would be something like, has there been some sort of passing off of a work or misleading and deceptive conduct? So we have quite a lot of those issues that come to us on a pretty regular basis. And what we do is we have a look at what the facts are for the artist and then give them advice around what their next step should be.
In a world where we're very heavily digital and certainly visual artists love to show off what they're being able to do, it's very much almost a CV for them, does this run even further the risk of stuff being stolen?
Well, in terms of digital exposure, absolutely, and putting stuff on social media, that can also be pretty, there's a really good part of that in terms of exposure. There's a downside in what rights you're basically giving up when you post your work on Facebook or Instagram, different socials. So there's, you know, it's that's difficult. So it's very important for artists to understand what the risks are in terms of especially social media, but also to be looking after their work, you know, monitoring their work, seeing where their work is being used, because there aren't any copyright police. So if someone's going to do something about a copyright infringement, then it has to be the artist themselves, because no one else is going to do it for them.
You mentioned giving up rights on social media. Are we talking about the terms and conditions of the individual kind of social networks?
That's right. So it's when, especially if you're posting things on public, which, of course, if you're looking for exposure and you have your settings on public, then that's when you're giving a whole lot of rights to other people to use your work. So not only to the platform itself, like Facebook, but you're also allowing other people to use your work both on and off Facebook.
And I'm imagining it's not just visual artists. I mean, there's been a big drive towards musicians putting stuff up online.
Yeah. Absolutely. The same issues apply. You have to know what the terms and conditions are of the platform that you're using, because then that's basically your agreement with that website or with that social platform, with that company. And if you don't understand what those terms and conditions are, you don't know what rights you're giving to them or to other people who might come onto that platform.
So how do artists who want to take advantage of this kind of global stage to show off on better protect their own work?
They have to be pretty careful about what they're putting up and understanding what those terms are, because the last thing you want to do is to put up that really special song you've written or that really fantastic photograph or artwork to then find out that anyone actually can take that and incorporate it into their work, or, you know, which may well be the case. I know photographers, for example, who use Instagram for profile, but they won't put up the really special photograph. They'll put up some work, but they won't put up everything. And then they'll make sure they're linking back. I mean, in terms of quality, if it's visual, then the quality of the image is obviously important. You don't put up a high-res image, because that's much, much easier just to rip off completely. There are things to do, but it's not foolproof for sure.
And look, I was going to say, if there has been a breach, just how well protected are artists?
Most countries around the world have copyright laws.
Yes.
Most of them have signed international treaty. Some countries it's much harder to take action in than others, and other countries have, you know, slightly different systems to what we have in Australia. So it is possible for people to take action overseas, but then that's a resourcing issue, a time and money often. So that also can be very draining for someone who actually is in a position to be able to do something about it. So because, you know, for example, there's a quite a well-known case of an Aboriginal artist whose work was ripped off in Poland. It's been used in a hotel there, and she's actually been able to get some assistance to take an infringement action against the hotel and the designer. That's taken 5 years of her life. Oof. She has been successful, but it's just an ongoing battle. And it's been, you know, so at the end of the day, she has won, but, you know, then there are appeals and all those sorts of things. It takes a lot of time and energy. So you have to get some really good advice. And I suppose that's where Arts Law comes in as well.
Absolutely. Robin, we'll have links up to Arts Law on the 2SER.com website, of course. Thank you so much for your time this morning.
Pleasure. Thank you, Nick.
Thank you. Robin Ayres, CEO of Arts Law. They are a national community legal centre for the arts, helping out in scenarios like what we were just talking about. As I said, 2SER.com, more information about Arts Law and where you can get a little info if you are an artist about your rights.